Hello and welcome to Sports Report Podcast, Episode 6. I'm Billy.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Alejandro.
And today we're going to go through a lot of topics, as always, and we're going to start off with some NFL. So, in the NFL, the Patriots signed Austin Seferian-Jenkins to a one-year deal. He's the tight end, formerly of the Jets, Buccaneers, drafted by the Buccaneers in the second round. He was a pretty good pick and did pretty well with the Buccaneers during that time, but kind of fell out there and then went to the Jets, and he might have been on other teams. I'm not really sure from there, but a good signing. I don't think he's going to be for over a million or under a million. Well, yeah, he's going to be under a million, but I don't think he's going to be over a million-dollar signing. Haven't really got the numbers yet, but that fills the void of Rob Gronkowski and all the people there. They still have Matt Lacoste also at tight end, so that will be really interesting to see if they have Seferian-Jenkins as a starting tight end, Matt Lacoste, or Jacob Hollister. I'm leaning towards Austin Seferian-Jenkins, but they could also draft another tight end. So right now, the tight end's a little shaky, but I think if any team can rebuild Seferian-Jenkins' career, it's the Patriots, who have done that with Barkevius Mingo and other players like that. Moving on, the Red Sox had their home opener this week, Tuesday.
With the ring ceremony.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, and Stephon Gilmore threw out the first pitch there. Tom Brady was absent doing other things.
But he did.
I think he was in Montana.
He did post something about supporting the people who threw out the first pitch.
Yeah. And about the whole entire team was there with notable other players. But Gronkowski, Edelman, and Gilmore were the ones to throw out the first pitch. The Red Sox did lose that game, though. To the Blue Jays. I think it was like 9-5, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Really nothing new for the Red Sox. They really have not been to perform.
They haven't been to a good start, yeah. So some other big news coming out this week was that Aaron Rodgers dealt with a knee fracture all year, apparently. So there's been drama with him and Matt McCarthy lately with things coming out since McCarthy left, that Rodgers isn't a good leader, and that the own coach, Mike McCarthy, would skip meetings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes out. And then apparently Aaron Rodgers dealt with a knee fracture all year. So that's supposedly why he didn't have as great of a year. I don't buy it really. But I think without the knee fracture or with the knee fracture, Rodgers still wouldn't be a great player and probably wouldn't lead the Packers to a playoff berth, because their team really isn't that good.
Yeah, they've fallen apart.
Yeah, and I don't really think Rodgers is all what people make him out to be. He's certainly not the GOAT. He's not the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He probably never was the best quarterback in the NFL.
He came in with Tom Brady.
Yeah, he can't win games anymore, and it's just really sad to see that. But apparently he did deal with a knee fracture. I don't know if I'm buying that or not, but I just don't see it. Also this week, the Patriots finally re-signed kicker Steven Gostkowski. It's a two-year deal. Pretty lucrative, I think.
It took way too long.
Yeah, it took a
while. I was getting scared.
Yeah, for a kicker especially, those deals should get done pretty fast. But Gostkowski held out about 3 weeks into free agency, which is kind of scary for the Patriots, but they finally get him back. A great kicker. He's a little shaky in clutch moments, especially during the past few Super Bowls.
But
yeah,
he's still
one of the most consistent kickers.
Yeah, he's still a kicker you'd be like, I want that.
Yeah, he's one of the best kickers in the league. He had the extra point record for like a little bit. I think it was the record, or it might have been
for
the Patriot
like most consecutive
record. Most consecutive, and that got broke a few years ago. But
yeah,
he might be out of his prime right now, but he's still a great kicker and one of the at least top five in the league.
Yeah, and he definitely stays composed in key moments.
Yeah, and it's great for the Patriots to have a kicker like Steven Gostkowski and bring him back, because they don't have to be one of those teams that bring in a kicker every 2 years,
mm-hmm.
Like some other teams. Other news from the NFL draft, actually. QB Daniel Jones of Duke visited the Redskins. So that's a little interesting, but I don't think the Redskins will go for Daniel Jones. Personally, I've said on the record that I don't like Daniel Jones, and I think that would be a bad pick for the Redskins. I think they shouldn't go quarterback immediately. Maybe they should look at a Will Greer or someone like that in the third round instead of a first-round prospect like Daniel Jones. But just checking in with quarterbacks is always good. Also, the Panthers hosted quarterback Will Greer on a visit, which is kind of interesting because
they have Cam Newton.
So that could be Ron Rivera looking, and maybe he sees something in Cam Newton that
is a flaw. Or yeah. He's just starting to think that with the way Cam Newton plays, he might be getting old, especially with how physical and how much he throws his body around as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm not the biggest fan of Cam Newton. I don't think you can really win a championship with him, and I think he's way too inconsistent. But Will Greer, I've been really excited about him, and I think he will be a good quarterback if he got drafted by the Panthers. But I think if he were to get drafted, they would just put him behind his backup and just sign. He'd be like an A.J. McCarron with the Bengals, where he just kind of sat behind until he finally went to the Bills, then got traded to the Raiders, and now he's all over the place. I think we reported where he signed last time, but not sure where he's at right now. But Will Greer, Panthers, interesting thing to kind of look at during the draft. Could possibly happen. It's a little odd, but apparently they did host him. So they're just looking at the option, just in case. I'm sure it's just a last-second kind of check, just to see if they want to go away from Cam. Next up, the New York Giants extended wide receiver Sterling Shepard to a 4-year, $41 million contract. So it was reported that the Patriots were interested in trading for Sterling Shepard, so that would have been really good for the Patriots wide receiver core that's kind of weak right now, but ultimately, he signs back with the Giants. He's going to be in the wide receiver core with Golden Tate. Also, tight end Evan Ingram will also be there. So, a nice little core, but obviously, you got Eli Manning throwing to you right now. We don't know if it will be someone like Dwayne Haskins or Drew Lock or someone like that eventually through the draft. But 4 years, $41 million, I think that's about $10 million a year. It's pretty good for Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
Who's been a number two, but he's a really good prospect. I thought he'd get maybe around 13, especially with...
Yeah, he's a good young player. Kind of shadowed by Odell, obviously.
Yeah. I think he'll kind of form into the number one this year.
Yeah.
Since he's so young and Golden Tate's kind of declining, so I think you'll see more of Sterling Shepard. I would think with deals like Golden Tate and things like that, with people getting like $13-14 million and Adam Humphries getting $9 million. Sterling Shepard is a big step up from Adam Humphries, I think. So I think Sterling Shepard with the wide receiver market, he would get a big, big contract, but he stays moderately pretty not greedy, I'd say. And he stays with Giants. Apparently, I would assume that he really likes the Giants, and that's why he's staying there. And I would think he would get more, but maybe there just wasn't that much on the market.
Yeah. Demaryius Thomas and TJ Yeldon visited the Patriots recently. I think that's very good news, seeing the gap in the wide receiver core for the Patriots, especially with Chris Hogan going to the Panthers.
Going to the Panthers, yeah. So Demaryius Thomas and TJ Yeldon visited. So running back TJ Yeldon, he was the backup running back for the Jaguars. He was a pretty good running back coming out of Alabama, was a pretty good prospect, went into Jacksonville, and when he was starting or getting snaps when Leonard Fournette was out, was pretty decent, but I don't really know why the Patriots brought him in, seeming as they have Sony Michel, James White, Rex Burkhead, all those three running backs. Just putting TJ Yeldon into that rotation wouldn't make much sense because he's not going to get a lot of snaps. Demaryius Thomas, he is a little old. He showed a little of deteriorating factors.
Yeah. I think last he'd be season. Almost like Philip Dorsett's role this past year.
Yeah.
Not really getting a bunch of touches, but
still being consistent when he
still
helps.
Being consistent when his name's called.
I still think he'd be a really good target for Tom Brady, and it's obviously you need to get more wide receivers in that wide receiver room, and he'd be a good kind of vet for guys like Dorsett and Bruce Ellington and the person who they brought in from the Redskins. I'm losing his name, but they're all really good players. Well, not they're not too good, but they're good prospects, and I think that if you had Demaryius Thomas teaching them, they'd improve a lot more. And yeah. I think that he would just obviously be a step up from them as and, the ones.
Another issue with – or not issue, just another factor of Philip Dorsett maybe not getting as many touches might have been just him trying to develop chemistry with Tom Brady. Because in the playoffs, it showed that Brady was starting to develop more trust in him and give him more opportunities, and he showed that he was able of handling the pressure.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on, former Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio called Antonio Brown a pain in the butt. We can't say the other word that he actually called it because this is a PJ Clean podcast. But Jack Del Rio called Antonio Brown that. So he never really coached Antonio Brown, but I think I have to agree on this one because Antonio Brown has been...
He left and just started fighting with everyone.
Yeah.
That was on the Steelers.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Who really never did anything wrong.
Yeah, he won team MVP and AB called him out, I guess, and said that he fumbled away the season and was just really mean to him and stuff. And then Antonio Brown, trying to, I guess, throw more shots at Juju, posted a photo of a conversation with Juju in 2015 when Juju was on USC, when he was a young wide receiver, sending a DM to Antonio Brown to give him it, asking for advice and saying that AB was one of his idols and stuff. And he had, like, no caption or anything. And I don't really know what that was about. It wasn't really a shot. It was just kind of making Antonio Brown look worse. Because it's showing how Juju looked up to him. And now AB's kind of just tearing him apart. And Antonio Brown posted that himself. So I don't really know what he's doing here. He's just kind of digging a bigger hole for him. He was getting a lot of hate when he went out of Pittsburgh. And originally when he went out of Pittsburgh, I thought he was more of a – he wasn't the problem. It was more of Big Ben and Mike Tomlin. But now I see that Antonio Brown was a problem. Big Ben and Tomlin probably were a problem as well. But they were – all three of them created the problem.
Yeah.
So also the Patriots hosted Daniel Jones and Will Greer on a visit. That's also good. Daniel Jones is a first round pick. I don't think the Pats are really going to spend it on him. They probably shouldn't. They should probably draft a wide receiver in the first round or something like that. Will Greer, third round pick. It's good that they're looking at Will Greer. And I think that would pan out really well for the Patriots if they were to get him. Marquise Hollywood Brown, wide receiver from Oklahoma, visited the Dolphins. The Dolphins have the 13th pick in the NFL draft this year, and Marquise Brown is projected as a first-round pick. I think it would be interesting for the Dolphins to pick him here. I think it's a little too high, and they already have Kenny Stills and guys like that. They do need to amp up their wide receivers, but I think drafting a quarterback here or offensive lineman or something would
Who's
be more beneficial.
Who's their quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Right now, they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. They
still
had
Ryan
him.
Tannehill, though.
No, Tannehill's in Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So they right now, all they have is Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is not what they would want ideally. So you would think that they would want to go for a quarterback. But I'm not sure if they brought in any quarterbacks. I'm sure they have. They've talked to some quarterbacks. But right now, Marquise Hollywood Brown, the big headline there, he's visiting the Dolphins. Free agency, you thought it calmed down a little bit. It didn't. This week, the Jets signed running back Ty Montgomery, who spent the end of the season with the Ravens and spent time with Green Bay earlier in his career. And he's just a really, really good running back. And I think him behind Le'Veon Bell will be a pretty good combo in the run game. So also another thing, Vikings extended Adam Thielen to a 4-year, $64 million contract with some unknown incentives.
I think this is a... good for the Vikings. Adam Thielen had a massive season.
Yeah,
really dominant. Not really much to say other than it was almost unexpected. The Vikings were kind of not really talked about going into it, but
yeah.
Adam Thielen really turned up, performed when he needed to.
Yeah, he's kind of come out of nowhere in the past few seasons, and he's put in a lot of good work with the Vikings, and a 4-year $64 million contract is definitely deserved. He's getting big money finally, and I would like to see if he tones down after that or not, but I think he will keep going at his pace, and him and Stephon Diggs have to be one of the best wide receiver cores in the league. And I think if Kirk Cousins can get back to his form that he was on the Redskins, and he can actually like get the throws to Thielen and Diggs, they are a Super Bowl contender immediately again. And I think that they still have the potential of that. Kirk Cousins just has to get it figured out. And, you know, Thielen deserves it. And I'm really happy that he got that money. I think he's deserved it. He worked his way all the way from Minnesota State. And he's just a great player. Strong safety Patrick Chung of the Patriots agreed to a one-year extension that extends him through 2021, keeping their safeties intact. Now, this is pretty good signing because you finally have Chung through 2021. Devin McCourty, the other safety, has talked about retirement and stuff. We thought it might even be a possibility that he retired after the Super Bowl. He isn't going to do that. He's going to stay one more year. We're not sure. So it's good that you have Chung through 2021 because you also have Daron Harmon still as a backup. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to put Harmon and then Chung after McCourty retires, and that's just really beneficial. They're getting him locked up, and a good signing.
Do we have a Patriots. Does the Patriots have Jason McCourty still too?
Yeah, the Patriots signed Jason McCourty. Yeah. I think he's on the team here, though.
What I'm thinking is Devin McCourty will probably stay until the end of Jason's contract and they'll retire together.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a possibility. And I think they would want to do that. So two more years possibly, but that even extends Chung for the next two, I think. So yeah. You got him. He's aging a little bit. So through 2021, he might be like 33, 34, I think, around there. But he's been a great player. He's really stepped it up.
He's become a good leader.
He's one of the hardest hitters on the Patriots. If you ever see videos of him playing and his play style, he's not really a coverage type of guy. He's good in coverage, but
he's good at stopping the run if they break through the line.
Yeah, he's a great run stopper, and he'll let the guy catch it, but he's going to light him up after. It's kind of like a Cam Chancellor attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really a ball hawk. He's just kind of a hitter type of player. And he's a great safety, very underrated.
Yeah.
So and, some important things that we missed last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just got a few extra things. So the AAF ended operations. Some of the players went over to the NFL, and it's kind of interesting. Sad to see the AAF go. There are Orlando Apollos who only lost one game, I believe, or one or two, are proclaimed champions already because of their record being top of the league. The Apollos quarterback signed with the Browns actually as a backup quarterback, so that was the first signing from the AAF, and that's a really interesting thing to see how he pans out in the NFL. Coming from the AAF, so the first AAF product. DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys got a 5-year, $100 million deal. He's been clamoring for this, and he finally got it. Should be an interesting thing to see in Dallas. Their defensive line stays solid and good. The Jets also got new uniforms and new logo. So their logo is...
I think the uniforms are okay.
Yeah.
The new logo and the new helmet is... awful.
Yeah, the new helmet is really weird. It's all green now instead of white, and they took away the football or kind of circle around the Jets thing, which I always thought made it look good, and it's kind of classic. I thought it looked really classic, and now they took that away, and it's just kind of Jets with the green. They have black uniforms that are really nice.
I do like
the black. I love black uniforms, but the white and the greens are just not good, and I think they need to move away from those.
They look like they tried to make a color rush uniform as their all-time uniform.
Yeah, Nike's kind of screwing up on that one. Also, they released some college football ones like Michigan State that don't look good. You can look into Nike's track record on their uniforms for football right now, that like the past few ones that they've released in college football and the NFL, and they're just not looking good. And they need to figure it out. The Jets uniforms, they don't look good. They don't look classic. And they certainly take away the feeling that when you watch the Jets. And that's going to be it for football.
Yeah. Just a couple points from college football. Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm signed a 7-year, $36 million contract extension. And Illinois land the five-star USC transfer
linebacker. So that would be a pretty good, especially for Illinois. That's really surprising. Also, the Purdue head coach signing, 7 years, $36 million. That's pretty good. They didn't have the greatest record last season, but he was very, very good player. Not player, coach, I thought. And I think he's really kind of bringing Purdue football back, possibly to be in competition with Ohio State, Michigan State, and those top Big Ten schools in the conference.
Yeah, and just kind of a funny thing. South Carolina's really football funny. Team ordered $2,000 worth of pizza and tipped $5.
Which is a little
cheap. Which is like
cheap.
1%.
I think you can guarantee that South Carolina is not paying their football players, because if they're that cheap, they are definitely not paying for their recruits. They're probably the only SEC team not paying for their recruits. That's
that might be true.
But they need to get that figured out. They really need you should tip 20% and they tip, I don't even know what that is. So That's really bad. All right, so on NBA? NCAA.
Yeah,
let's do NCAA.
NCAA.
Yeah.
Because time. Yeah.
Because of time.
So Virginia have been crowned champions over Texas Tech 85-77 in the March Madness tournament.
I was unhappy about this.
Same.
I was, because my cousin goes to Virginia, but that's all I'm saying.
It was a great game. Jarrett Culver, when he hit that kind of, he went up into the lane and then he kind of 360'd around and then he, laid it up in with to tie the game. I thought that was awesome. I thought they were going to, Texas Tech was going to win, and then Virginia played spoiler.
Yeah, it was a good moment for Jarrett Culver, who, like, you would think that leading an underdog team to the final would boost his draft stock, but it's only hurt his draft stock because he shot inefficiently in the last two games. In the last game, their team defense was able to, like, get them out of that game and get them the win. But in this game, obviously, Virginia was a stronger all-around team. And a better built team with better players. So they were to cost them this time.
Yeah, what really cost Texas Tech was that 11-0 run in overtime by Virginia. And
It still went to OT, despite Jarrett Culver shooting inefficiently, only getting 15 points. So, like, if he stepped up, like, a big player should have. Like, yeah.
Texas Tech could have won that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of disappointing because you would like Texas Tech to have won. And he was on a streak going into the tournament. Mm-hmm. And, like, the first two games of the tournament, he actually, like, stepped up. So I was like, this is a guy who steps up in the big moments, like, you know. But then he just didn't show for the last two games, which were the biggest. So that hurt his draft stock.
Yeah, I thought Culver was a little bit of a better shooter. And when I finally sat down and watched that championship game, which I think is the first full game that I've watched of him.
Yeah.
Like, he was not good.
I watched him against Michigan State. Yeah. It didn't come out.
All right, moving on.
Auburn extended their head coach Bruce Pearl through 2023, and I think that's a pretty good move by Auburn, seeing that he led them
to the Final Four.
To the Final Four with a team
double dribble,
primarily with a team of primarily shooters.
Yeah,
I like the system. I like watching Auburn play throughout the season.
Yeah,
they have
a couple standout players, but not anyone that you'd think would go top five in the draft.
Yeah,
they did a good job working with what they had. And
yeah, like,
they worked at a good tempo.
I'm sure Bruce had a lot of factor into
because they won.
Yeah,
they were into playing that defense, like getting up on their opponent, and like forcing the turnovers and being able to finish on the break. Shooting a lot of threes, and it was just like a fun system for them that worked really well.
Yeah, it wasn't really any NBA ball where it's more of the players and not the coaches at all. It was a lot of Bruce Pearl in that, and I think
in college basketball, it's more like relying on the coaches since the players are always cycling through.
Yeah,
especially in today's one and done day.
Yeah, Marcus Howard of
the Marquette.
He is returning for his senior season at
Marquette.
Yeah. He could have declared for the draft. Probably would have been a late first round pick.
I don't think so. Like on the draft boards, I saw he wasn't on there.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. Like, he deserves it, but because of the NBA stigma against short players, he's not gonna
probably
be drafted.
I think it's fun to watch someone play all 4 years of college. yeah, just watching someone develop through
college. It's good to see the old
show loyalty and wanting to win a championship for their college and all that.
Mm. Yeah. Although this one only went up to Murray State and Ja Morant.
All right, so Nevada hired former UCLA coach Steve Alford. So an interesting hire there. UCLA, not too good of a team, but Nevada hired him, and we'll see if they can actually still be a title contender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the five-star
Nevada center,
out of
Jordan
Nevada,
Brown
is going to enter the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a result of Steve Alford actually getting hired. I mean, I don't think he really wants to play under a new head coach that he didn't choose for himself, and I think he's moving on because of that reason.
Yep. All right. This is going to be it for this segment, and we will be back in just a sec. Welcome back. It is time for the NBA. So, we have some retirements.
Some sad retirements. I'm really sad to see him go.
Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade have both retired officially. Very upsetting to me because they were both fun to watch.
Yeah. Obviously, we don't watch like their primes, but Dirk Nowitzki confirmed his retirement on Mavs last game, despite after a long season, which and he just confirmed it now. Unlike Dwayne Wade announced his retirement before the season started. Dirk was kind of, you could say, pressured into it because he was, like, put in the All-Star game. Just, like, Wade, you know, he didn't announce his retirement until, like, this week. But, yeah they're still retired.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's...
Dirk surprised the fans, too.
And Wade dropped 30 in his final home
and
game.
And so did Dirk.
And Dirk did, too, I guess.
Yeah, so that's... So yeah, that's two of the game's legends right there. Dirk, like a top two power forward, can make an argument for like the best power forward.
Mm-hmm.
Won the 2011 against the Heat and was the 2007 MVP. Like, you know, one of the greatest introduced like shooting bigs.
One of the greatest international players of all time, probably.
At this point he's the greatest. Unless somebody like Luka has something to say about that.
Bob Marjanovic.
Anyway. You know, and Wade, three-time champion, multiple, also really good defender, also retires, could have won a few MVPs, could have won in 2009 if his team did better.
Yeah.
So that's another legend. They obviously both gave us a great 2006 finals in which Dwayne Wade came back from that 0-2 deficit, having one of the best finals performances ever. So that's two legends.
He dropped 30 in his final home, which we already said. But he got a triple dub in his final game.
That was great.
And there's some Lakers drama going around. Magic Johnson stepped down as the team president.
No time.
And Luke Walton was fired finally after like 3 years of him.
And today he was signed by the Kings. One day later,
after they fired David Joinger.
Yeah, bad choice.
That name.
We'll get to that later, though. Staying with the Lakers.
Yeah. So, Matt Johnson stepped down as team president. Don't really know why. I honestly don't really care.
You know, this is something that Magic had like, kind of played with. It's not like he was like saying like I'm gonna stay here long run. Like before he's like after they signed LeBron, he said if I don't sign another star, then I'll retire. Obviously, like
he definitely wasn't expecting another star to sign with him.
Yeah,
he was probably getting the feeling.
Yeah,
from
I don't
Anthony
think
Davis
he traded D'Angelo, and that was his first mistake. His first move was his first mistake.
Yeah, I don't think he likes. I don't think he likes where the organization is going, and it obviously wasn't going to his plans. So he just decided to bolt.
He signed LeBron trying to force the team out of rebuild like really fast. And
exactly.
You need to go through the whole entire rebuild process before you can't force your team into
winning.
Their
players weren't ready.
Yeah. You can't like force LeBron into a team that's rebuilding and with your super young players and think that they're going to win immediately. It's just not going to happen. So I think that's why.
Yeah, and then
he
also got fined a few times for like random stuff, like different stuff, like with the tampering.
Yeah,
and
he had a big problem with that. Yeah, and Walton was fired finally.
Mm-hmm. No, they technically they mutually agreed to
part ways.
Yeah,
mutually agreed. It doesn't matter.
The Lakers owner actually gave Magic permission to fire Luke Walton before he left, but he decided not to, and they fired him anyways.
Yeah, and Tyronn Lue is the front runner for the Lakers job. Not
Which
sure
is really concerning.
LeBron is trying to find somebody he can bully.
So yeah, Tyronn
I think LeBron just suggested that to the Lakers, saying, "Hey, this guy, I like this guy as a
coach.
You should bring him in."
Exactly,
because LeBron wants to control him and be the coach.
And
the 76ers.
And obviously, Tyronn Lue has nothing against earning millions for doing nothing.
Yeah,
yeah. And the 76ers assistant Monty Williams also in the
who's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's definitely better than Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, LeBron doesn't like actual good coaches, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Monty Williams coached some good Hornets and Pelicans teams when Chris Paul was
there.
Yeah,
so he's out of the running then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did coach Chris Paul, and Chris Paul and LeBron are buddies, so maybe there's a connection there. Maybe Monty will agree for LeBron to take over the team while he's there.
Yeah.
Give him, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
The Kings fired their head coach Dave
Joerner.
Joerger. I don't know. Whatever.
He's a good coach.
Despite
though.
Finishing
exactly.
in ninth place this year, which is
which is pretty good for the Kings.
It's pretty good for the Kings. Not
because
no one
they
really
weren't
expecting them.
Buddy Hield became a star.
No one expected them to be in.
They played
position.
A fun brand of basketball that everyone loved. And that got them there because they played it up.
And Buddy Hield played really well.
Yeah. And so
they
Fox.
They played at a way faster pace, and they transformed De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield's game. And
they took advantage of their speed.
And they accelerated
their
development, yeah.
And then he got fired.
This makes no sense to me.
And then they hired Luke Walton.
Yeah, because they were in playoff contention for most of the season, which they weren't expected to do. Most people expected them to be, like, out of the way of the playoffs. Yeah. We're not 10th, like, way out of the playoffs. Like,
at least 10th.
At most 10th.
And
that's what whatever.
Yeah.
Vlade Divac, the person who fired Dave Joerner, the GM of the Kings, got an extension before he fired him.
Oh, God.
So, 2023 to 2024, this was this week, and then he decides to fire the head coach, which is a horrible move, and I'm sure a lot of people are looking for
it. It probably just means they had a bad relationship. That's probably what it
means. Probably. I mean, I don't know why you'd give a person an extension for firing a coach who brought your team up at least, like, fast-forward your team,
the
like,
Kings,
2 years.
The Kings obviously knew about this, like, tumultuous relationship. So
yeah.
They knew it was either Dave Joerger or Vlad Divac, and they chose it Vlad for some reason, which I don't understand, because he didn't really make smart decisions throughout his reign as the GM.
Mm. All right. So I guess we're going to talk about some playoffs. NBA playoffs, which is going on right now.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's talk about some playoffs. So we did some brackets.
We did fill out some brackets.
And we're going to talk about...
Start out on the West Coast?
Sure.
All right. So, Golden State Warriors versus the Los Angeles Clippers. Who did you have winning it in how many games?
I had Golden State 4-1.
I had the same thing.
Same thing.
Well, that's not
great
fun.
Minds think
that's
alike.
That's not interesting.
No. Okay. So wait, we can talk about each playoff. Okay. So I had them going over 4-5 because I just thought, you know, the Clippers have had a good season.
They're
they have
take
a nice.
One.
They have They have a nice coach, and they play a good defense. Like they hustle. But you know, obviously the Warriors are the Warriors,
and I think they're gonna be more relaxed in the first round.
Because
they're playing a team that's not as
good. They probably could sweep them, but I don't think they will because I think the Clippers can put up a good fight.
Yeah, I said 5 just because I knew the Warriors were gonna win. I knew the Clippers wouldn't really be that close, but I knew the Clippers were definitely a good team that could put up a good fight. And
I definitely see flaws in this Warriors team, which is why I don't see them sweeping them.
Yeah. And Houston Rockets versus the Utah Jazz.
I said
rematch
Houston
of
in
last
seven.
Year's second round matchup, and I had the Rockets in 6.
I also had the Rockets in 6.
Rockets in 7.
Okay.
Thank you.
Finally have some difference. There we go. I had Rockets in 6 just because Utah really hasn't proven to be a very consistent team. You know, Donovan Mitchell has been the only really scorer on that team. Well, and Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles.
Right. You know, he just shoots threes.
Factual. Okay, so this is my logic. This is my logic. I was like, both of these teams are really hot after the All-Star break. Like, really hot. Like, they're both, like, the most, like, top, like, definitely top five for wins after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So they're both in healthy. But I look at the Jazz, and they're, like, a slower team, methodical, like, defensive team. And obviously, they got beaten by this Houston team last year. And Donovan Mitchell's proven to be, like, the only person who can create their own shot on this team.
And Donovan Mitchell's been having a less consistent year last year.
Because teams obviously, you know, had them prioritize them as their number one target. Because he's the ball handler, the scorer on this Jazz team. So, like, while they have a nice system and everything in place, Houston's obviously been on fire. And they have the reigning MVP. And I just saw them winning in six.
Yeah, I had them in seven because I think Chris Paul, he's kind of declined from last season.
That's true. This season was a real decline.
Yeah.
Because, like, every season in his career, you've seen, like, that same 18 and 10 or, like, 9. And this season, that was, like, it was less efficient, too.
Yeah, he didn't make the All-Star team. And I think the Jazz, I think they're going to be competitive in the playoffs. They're always scrappy with Mitchell, Ingles, Jay Crowder, guys like that.
Yeah.
And I think that they're still going to put up a fight. I don't think Houston's as good as they were last season. And that's why I put them in
that's
seven.
True. But I also had the Rockets up there because since the All-Star break, they've actually had like a top two defense. So
yeah.
I was really impressed by that when I saw that. So I just feel like they can pull down in six.
Yeah, and Patrick Beverley was they saw him giving tips on how to guard James Harden to Jay Crowder. Mm-hmm. And so that was neat, I guess. On to Trailblazers versus Thunder.
All right.
What did you have?
I had the Thunder in six.
I have the Trailblazers in seven.
I have like Thunder in seven.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Billy,
the Trailblazers.
You start with your reasoning, Billy.
Okay, so I said the Thunder because Trailblazers never really get that far in the playoffs. They've kind of they've kind of been the past few years haven't been that great. They really only have, with the absence of Nurkic, they only really have McCollum and Lillard. And I think the combination of Westbrook, Adams, and Paul George is just a better combination than Lillard and McCollum. And I think the Thunder ultimately will win in seven. It will be a tight series with Damian Lillard. I think always going to put up a fight, but I think the Thunder win.
I have Portland winning in seven because, seeing their struggles in the playoffs recently, I think they're going to come in more hungry, more scrappy. I think they're just going to outplay Oklahoma, surprise them. I don't know. I think Lillard doesn't like getting eliminated early in the playoffs, so I think he's going to really put up a fight to the Thunder, and I think he's a good enough leader to bring them a win.
Yeah, I saw Portland. They obviously probably be hungrier, more determined to get this. But obviously, they're not nervous. They don't have a presence inside. If OKC is proven to be a very, like, if they're focused, they can be a really good defensive team because they have players like Paul George and Russell Westbrook who, like, were high up there for steals all the season. And I just saw OKC, like, they can win this in six if they go, like, we've seen them throughout the season. If they turn on, like, their switch, then they can really play as a good basketball team. And I just saw Lillard and McCollum, who both disappointed last season against the Pelicans. They got swept by the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And you don't see them as good as an offensive team as this OKC team. I see Paul George and Russell Westbrook and people like Terrence Ferguson and Steven Adams. And I just don't – Portland doesn't even have a presence inside to get rebounds or anything.
Yeah.
So I think OKC can lock them down. And obviously OKC's offense is inconsistent. But if they can shut down Portland, then they can use defense as their offense. You know, the defense that's the best offense. I think that's how OKC can win this series.
Yeah, and the Denver Nuggets versus the San Antonio Spurs. What did you have?
I had Denver in six.
Denver in six.
Denver in
I
six.
Had Denver in five.
We all have the same outcome then.
I guess I'll just start because I'm the kind of odd one out in games. So I had Denver in five just Because, you know, Sacramento, they have Greg Popovich, obviously, and DeMar DeRozan.
San Antonio, you mean, not Sacramento?
Yikes.
Whatever.
I'm sure Sacramento would love to have Greg Popovich after they fired their head
coach. Yeah, I'm sure they would. Yeah, so San Antonio is they're a good team. DeMar DeRozan's pretty good. LaMarcus Aldridge is he's all right. I don't see them winning more than one game against Denver just because Denver's been so dominant. With Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray just playing really well together. And, yeah, what about you guys?
So I had Denver simply because they've just been on a really good streak lately, and I don't think the Spurs are really that good of a team. DeMar DeRozan's kind of disappointed lately, and LaMarcus Aldridge, and I don't think that they can really carry the Nuggets in the playoffs.
Yeah, I like what the Spurs did, what Popovich did with this roster throughout the season, and how well they did to get through the season and to be the seventh seed and to continue their streak of playoffs reached. But I saw Denver's been really good this season. They've been a one seed at points, and they've been fighting with the Warriors, and I really like their upbeat team spirit, and obviously they've had like an MVP contender in Jokic, obviously like not like a fringe MVP. And obviously they have like Murray, and I just saw Denver in six. I saw San Antonio could put up maybe two games against them.
All right, so on to the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee versus Detroit.
Sweep.
I have a sweep.
For Milwaukee.
Yeah, for Milwaukee.
I have 4-2, Milwaukee.
4-2. Ooh, why? What's your reasoning for Detroit winning two games against Milwaukee?
Is it Blake Griffin? Is Blake Griffin's
game? I can see Detroit because they're both like Milwaukee. Yeah, Milwaukee's a more up. Like they've been playing at a higher pace this season with more threes. But Detroit's obviously a good defensive team, and I just, like, I don't know. I've seen Blake Griffin play at a really high level this season. Andre Drummond can get rebounds over Brook Lopez, who averages very few rebounds. Obviously, Giannis is the MVP, and I really like Milwaukee's style and how hot they've been this season, how well they play this season. Only team to reach 60 wins. So, obviously, I have Milwaukee winning. But I can see Detroit taking them out because they have a good defensive team, good system. And yeah, that's what I saw.
Boston Celtics versus Indiana Pacers.
Hold up. Don't you want to talk about your reasoning for Milwaukee sweeping?
They have Giannis. And I think they're a better all-around team, and they've just been destroying.
And Chris Middleton, and they're beasts defensively and offensively.
That's true.
Yeah. And I just don't think Detroit's under 500 team, and I don't think they can really compete with Milwaukee.
Yeah. Boston versus Indiana.
Boston in six.
Shame.
And Indiana doesn't really have Victor Oladipo. Boston's been kind of not.
Yeah,
too
I feel
great,
like
but...
yeah, I feel like the loss of Victor Oladipo will be magnified in the playoffs, where a need of a star is really high.
Mm.
So that's gonna hurt them.
Yeah, I mean,
they'll still
the young
fight.
Core of Indiana has been playing together really well. Really been performing.
Pretty surprisingly,
after the injury. Kind of like the Celtics were last year after Hayward's injury.
And then Kyrie's in the end.
And Kyrie's.
Yeah, I saw Indiana, like, they kept that 3 seed after Oladipo's injury for a while, which is really impressive, but obviously they slipped to 5th, and that's just going to – they don't have a real star or great ability to create shots for themselves, so.
Yeah. Philadelphia 76ers versus the Brooklyn Nets, which is already – Brooklyn up 1-0.
Philly in 7.
I have Philly in 7.
I had Philly in 5.
Oh,
ooh,
all right.
So I
need Philly to sweep.
I did this before the Philly game, and I didn't anticipate Brooklyn to do this well. And I anticipated Philadelphia's Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons. They should definitely be doing better
than Simmons
one.
Scored like 9 points.
I know.
Tobias Harris scored.
They're
four
really
points
under.
Four
they
minutes.
Got Tobias Harris too. They're underperforming so much.
Tobias.
Right now, I would say Philly in 7 now, but I have 4-1.
Yeah, Brooklyn, real scrappy team. Love how they play. Good defensive players. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie, he's a good leader. I don't know. He's a good defender. And
yeah, I like what Brooklyn's style. They have nothing to lose, and they obviously play like it in the game one. They stole the win, but I don't see Philly being that inconsistent and bad throughout the whole series. So I had Philly coming out, but it's going to be a big longer road than they expected. And Philly's going to put up a Brooklyn's going to put up a bigger fight than they anticipated.
All right, Toronto Raptors versus Orlando Magic, which is also already 1-0. So both of the lower seeds that have played so far have won their matchups. I have Toronto in 6.
Toronto in 6.
Toronto 4-0.
Well, that's already
wrong. That's already wrong. Yeah. Orlando, I didn't expect them to do anything, really.
Yeah, well, a backup point guard dropped over.
DJ Augustine.
Dropped 25 on him, so.
And a really clutch shot.
Yeah,
it's a and Kyle Lowry, on the other hand, an all-star, dropped zero. So, yikes.
All-star voting. Fans, you gotta figure that out, man.
You know, Kyle Lowry in full playoff mode, so it's always nice to see that.
Yeah. I had Toronto winning in 6 just because I expected Kyle Lowry to actually show up. And
what are you talking about?
Full playoff.
He showed up. And did nothing.
In his usual playoff mode.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, Kawhi, he's Kawhi. He knows what to do. He's good everywhere. I mean, there's
except
not much
except against the Orlando Magic.
Hey,
yeah.
Okay. In Toronto. Yeah, I just had Toronto coming down top because, like, obviously they don't usually win first games, but I don't know. They're just a stronger all-around team and better coached with better players. And I don't think Kyle Lowry's going to play that awful. The rest of the series.
Yeah.
So
that is our first round predictions.
On to the second round, starting the Eastern Conference still?
Sure.
All right. So I have Milwaukee beating Boston 4-1 because, you know, Boston, they've been pretty disappointing this year with less injuries. And, you know, Milwaukee's been pretty dominant. And, you know, I expect Boston to put up one game, at least. Milwaukee's, they're really good.
I said Milwaukee in 5, although Boston could easily take the 6 or maybe even 7, but I have Milwaukee winning no matter what.
Yeah.
Because Milwaukee's more okay, Billy, you give your take, sorry.
Yeah, I have Milwaukee in 7. Just because I think Boston's actually going to do pretty well. I think Kyrie's going to be a better player. And, I think Milwaukee isn't really.
I just think the blow of losing Marcus Smart, who's I've called their defense a lot of times because he's like that rock in defense. He's always there, and he's always helping his teammates. Like he doesn't only play individual defense well.
Yeah,
he plays
ball
really
too.
Well. Yeah, he motivates his teammates with his play. And he not only motivates him, he directs them too. Like you can see him calling out screens.
I expect him to be like assistant coach during the playoffs while he's on the bench.
Yeah. So it's going to be a really hard loss, and I just don't have Boston recovering from that because the only thing Milwaukee's missing right now is Malcolm Brogdon, who's obviously a really good shooter and obviously really also a good defender. But I think Giannis is going to be able to overcome the Celtics on like he did last season.
Yeah. Toronto versus Brooklyn in the second round as well. I had Toronto taking it in 5 just because, you know, Brooklyn, they're like that team that will get the upset in March Madness, then lose in the next round, kind of like UMBC.
Well, Billy and I have Toronto against Philly, so I have Toronto in 7.
I had Philly in 6.
That's interesting.
I had Philly in 6 because I think Toronto's not ready. I don't think they have a lot of good players. I mean, Kyle Lowry has shown tonight 0 points, and I think the Sixers just have more star power in their better team.
Their star power
did
not.
I rushed this.
Neither did Toronto's star power.
I rushed this, but obviously Toronto's played like a more complete team this whole regular season. Obviously, regular season didn't count like for anything. Toronto got swept last season, but I still see Toronto coming out because
they're a different team.
Philly's obviously not come together. completely because as you saw them.
Toronto's a different team this year. They have new pieces.
As you saw them in the first round, or they're losing to Brooklyn. And
Philadelphia does have more new pieces, too. They have Tobias Harris.
But
and
they have
Jimmy
less
Butler.
Pieces to integrate. Tobias Harris played 40 minutes and scored 4 points.
And if Ben Simmons goes like one,
I'm not saying that
again,
I'm just saying they're both not good teams. They shouldn't be in the. They're like not top tier teams. And
well,
I think
Toronto plays this correctly, they're a really good defensive team. Have a good coach,
but they're not playing correctly.
Excuse me. they could lock down Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons could go full 1 point on them again. So, I mean that would really hurt Philly if Ben Simmons. If they keep Ben Simmons at bay again, because obviously he can't really shoot from the perimeter, and the only thing he does is really create and attack the paint. So if they shut him down with like Kawhi and they're playing really well, then I have Toronto in seven.
On to the Western Conference. Golden State versus Houston Rockets is what I have in the second round.
Yep.
I have Golden State taking it in six.
As well.
Same.
Okay, well,
okay,
that's,
so we all agree.
That's just boring.
Yeah.
You know, it's Golden State, it's the playoffs. They're gonna do their thing.
Yep. Rockets
and
are crippled.
I think this is their. I think this is their last year of complete dominance.
Exactly.
But yeah.
They're a better all around team, better defense, despite Boogie Cousins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Portland versus Denver is what I have. Unlike both of you,
OKC versus Denver.
I have
Denver.
Do we all have Denver winning though?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Denver and seven.
Denver and six.
OKC and seven.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
fight me.
We can. Yeah.
All right. So I have Denver and six.
I have
Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray.
Yep.
Both really good
players. Gary Harris too.
And him. Gary Harris.
Will Barton. Yeah.
And Will Barton.
Also like Paul Millsap and stuff. And
Paul Millsap, yeah.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah. He's not just there. He is,
I know,
a superstar.
Excuse me.
Yeah, so, you know, Denver's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay, see, they can step up. Paul George can go back into MVP mode, and Russell Westbrook has been a triple-double machine, and they can just pull it out over Denver and have better defense.
Mm.
And okay. Steven Adams shut down Jovic.
Okay, on to the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. For the Western Conference Finals, it's, for me, Golden State versus Denver. I have Golden State in five.
Golden State in six.
Golden State in six against OKC.
Yeah, I have Golden State in five just because I feel like they're going to really start turning it up in late playoffs. And
I can see that, but
yeah.
In my case, OKC has been giving problems to Golden State for a while now. Like, you've seen them, like, Russell Westbrook really tried against them. And last time, like, earlier season, Dennis Schroeder really stepped up against them. So I feel like they have the pieces necessary that can at least put up some kind of a fight, but Golden State's a better all-around team, and they'll really be at their best and in full playoffs by then.
Mm-hmm. And Eastern Conference Finals, I have Milwaukee versus Toronto. I have Milwaukee in seven.
Milwaukee in six.
I have Milwaukee versus Philadelphia. I'm Milwaukee in five.
Oh, okay.
You start.
I think because Milwaukee obviously is a better team than Philadelphia. Philadelphia just doesn't seem like a team that I think can make the finals.
Which is why they should have lost to the Raptors.
And they're not a team that should make
exactly.
the finals either. And be fighting for the finals. Milwaukee, I think overall is a better team than Philly. 4-1, quick cleanup for them. And yeah.
All right, I thought Milwaukee could get over them in six because I see Milwaukee's a better around team. They'll have Malcolm Brogdon probably back by then. And they just have a nice team. They shoot a lot of threes, and Toronto's been inconsistent in the playoffs, so Toronto playoff mode means they lose.
Yeah. I have Milwaukee in seven just because I think Kyle Lowry will realize he's actually in games that matter.
Wow.
I don't think he will.
I don't lie because I don't think he can.
I don't know. Just Milwaukee's pretty dominant, but I think Toronto will put up a good fight.
It's basically, I think Malcolm Brogdon can shut him down. Finals, I have Golden State in six against Milwaukee.
All right, in the finals, I have Golden State versus Milwaukee. I have Golden State too. Taking it in six.
You can just say Golden State in six. Thank you.
I have Golden State in six.
Okay, yep. That's not fun. It's Golden State and it's the finals, that's what they always do.
We have all the same finals. Obviously, Giannis is really nice, but Golden State in full playoff mode by then, they'll be feeling themselves, and I think they're obviously dominant teams, one of the greatest of all time, and Milwaukee won't be able to put up with that, despite having an MVP contender and great player, to be honest.
Mm.
All right, so that is it for
Sports Report Podcast.
Episode 6. All right, make sure to follow us on social media. Give us any messages through the Anchor app, through Instagram, through Twitter that you may have. And just feel free to let us know if you have anything you think we should do. So this is it for Sports Report Podcast. I'm Aiden signing off.
I'm Billy.
Andrew's out.